You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy.
And now, the hunt for the perfect album.
Hello, patrons, and welcome back to the hunt for the perfect album with Billy and Dave, where we're looking for the perfect album. We've done a heap of these now, mate. We've been going, I think this is, either episode 13 or 14.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just distracted by this fucking beer. You would love this shit, mate.
I bet it tastes
like chocolate. It's like the cacao nibs or whatever. It actually tastes like a chocolate milkshake.
Is it a porter or a stout or is it an ale of some kind?
It's a British brown ale, I think. English brown ale.
Yes, I do like an English brown.
With cacao nibs added. Just give it a chocolatey delightful joy. It's just like a chocolate milkshake, only hoppy.
All right, well, this week I'm a bit nervous about. I really hope that you like this one. If for nothing else, then I know you've already ordered it on vinyl.
Twice.
So, yeah. And I am talking about the Mountain Goats' Tallahassee, which I've always loved. Always loved this album. It came out in 2003. That's when I first listened to it, and I've loved this album ever since. And I was kind of reminded of it because you've now given me two concept albums on the show, and this is probably my favorite concept album of all time, which is why I kind of decided to throw this at you. So I know that you're familiar with the Mountain Goats, but from memory, you're more familiar with their later stuff than this.
Yeah, well, it was weird because this did not kick off like the, and admittedly, they've got, right, what I understand, about 19 fucking albums or something.
Yeah,
As some of these folky types are, he's very prolific. So I'm working with a very small sample size of two albums.
Yeah.
But this kicks off with the title track, and I was like, this is not the Mountain Goats I've heard before.
Yeah,
this is very slow and didn't have that. I mean, not that he's the albums I've heard are fucking death metal or anything.
Yeah.
But they've got a kind of a raw edge to them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. This one's a lot more folky.
Unpolished.
And his album
just
after this, Get Lonely, is much the same. I think these are the two best albums for me. But yeah, Unpolished is probably a good way to describe it.
Mm. So, yeah, not what I was expecting.
Prayers to summon the destroying angel. Moon stuttering in the sky like film, stuck in a projector. And you.
That's a beautiful song. Really beautiful. Yeah. The lyrics, I mean, all the way through, and I'm only going to say it once, but consider this a statement for every song. The lyrics are really good.
Yeah,
he's a great writer.
He really is. And I think that's why this works for me as a concept album. I think that, you know, there are some concept albums where if you weren't told it was a concept album, you might not know. But I think if you really listen to the lyrics of this, you can hear the story progression, I think.
Oh, this album is literally a musical version of what is happening in Adam Driver's head in Marriage Story in the scenes he's not in with Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
When he's not actively fighting with her and telling her she wishes she'd fucking died of cancer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sitting alone in his room with this fucking album on loop in his head.
Yeah.
It's really well written.
Yeah.
But like I said, it that track didn't kind of mesh with what I'd heard so far. So I was like, oh, okay. Let's see where this journey goes. Second and third tracks kind of get more into, I guess, what I think of as Mountain Goats, if that makes sense. It ramps up a little bit, not so much with First Few Desperate Hours, but certainly Southwood Plantation Road, that was what I was expecting. And I think I didn't like it more.
Yeah.
But I kind of knew where I was once I got to track three, I think.
I think from memory, Southwood Plantation Road is the first track on the album that might be multi-instrumental. I think that's the first one, certainly, that has electric instruments in it.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But First Few Desperate Hours is one of my favourite songs.
Oh, I really... I'm not saying I didn't like it. I really like both of those tracks.
Yeah.
We have bad dreams, the night he rolls in. We have bad dreams, the night he rolls in. And we try to keep our spirits high. But they flag.
Love that chorus. And they wane. He's got such an interesting voice where he's not a great singer, but it just
even
works.
The first track, like I said, I didn't feel like Mel, but his voice is still recognizable. He just sort of thematic, it didn't feel like instrumentally what I was expecting, but very distinctive voice. Track four, which I think was the game show one, I didn't
Game shows touch our lives. Yeah.
I did really like that. It had a very, this is going to sound weird, and it's the way my brain works. It's to me, the lyrics of it and the progression of what it was saying felt like a kind of a US folk version of a Whitlam song.
I can definitely get behind that,
But instead of piano, you've got guitar.
Yeah, I can see
that. The story that it's telling, to me, that was screaming Tim Friedman.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
Dug up a fifth of Hood River gin. That stuff tastes like medicine, but I'll take it. It'll do. On the couch in the living room all day long. Music on the television playing our song. And I'm in the mood for you.
Yeah, I can totally see the connection there with, yeah.
I think it's the domesticism of the words, the picture that it's painting.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that Tim writes about. The only note I've got for number five is these songs are fucking depressing.
I mean, the whole album is depressing. Like you said, it is like the audio version of Marriage Story.
I genuinely can't remember how the song goes. I know it's called The House That Dripped
The House
Blood.
That Dripped Blood.
Yeah. And I've written, these songs are fucking depressing.
Yeah.
So I can't remember. I mean, I didn't dislike anything on this album, but I can't remember. I didn't put a star next to it, so it wasn't one of my sort of standouts that I loved. But
yeah,
I'm thinking it's not one of the happier ones. But the next song, Idols of the King, what I've put down is best so far, really good track, guitar and xylophone, who would have thought it, and in inverted commas, innumerable gibbons. Because that's a line you don't hear very often.
With its old plantations, these roads leading out to the sea. This day, full of promise and potential. More clay pigeons for you and me. All of them, all of them. All of them, all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting,
so unexpected.
Almost. Yeah, it's an almost happy song.
You can't have a sad song with a xylophone.
No.
So the blinky plonky.
So did this remain your favorite through to the end or?
No. Oh, no. This was the best so far.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably my fifth favorite.
Okay. All right. So very.
The back end of this album I liked more. That may change with more because I've only listened to it I think three times all the way through. As you said, with I think 10-9-8, that sort of thing might change. It could have been just that I got into the flow.
Yeah.
But the five songs that I sort of marked out as these are my favorites, that didn't change from the first listen.
Yeah, okay. On. Yeah.
The next track, obviously, I was familiar with.
Yeah.
Because it's their most played song in their entire arsenal. And you'd already put it in a fucking countdown.
I did. This was, I think it was my number two best indie track of all time. And I stand by that.
This is tied as my favorite track on the album.
Yeah.
Both, I mean, musically, it's one of the catchiest, but the lyrics are just so fucking dark and funny. It's so, so good. So
fantastic.
Exit, I hope it's already too late. And I hope the junkyard a few blocks from here someday burns down. And I hope the rising black smoke carries me far away. And I never come back to this town again. In my life, I hope I lie and tell everyone you were a good wife, and I hope you die.
Just fan fucking tastic. I hope you die. I hope we both die. It doesn't get, it's just, it's so bitter and depressing and angry and sad, and yet
what's
there's
the,
a levity
to it. What's the opening line?
The
something about I hope that everyone we've ever met.
Yeah, I hope that our few remaining friends. I can't think of it while it's playing, but yeah.
Oh, it's just from the first line to the end. Yeah. It's just nonstop vitriol.
One of the
it's
best
fucking
songs
brilliant
ever written. I adore that song. To me, that's my favorite on the album. I mean, first few Desperate Hours I adore, but I think you're probably right. The second half of the album is probably stronger. And I think that tends to happen with concept albums as they kind of build and reach that crescendo. Mm.
Weirdly, after that song, we get this kind of angry flex of almost spoken word. That it's like... what kept springing to mind was Mike Myers' angry woman poetry from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I can see that.
Your love is like a cyclone in a swamp, and the weather's getting warm. I was getting out of jail, heading to the Greyhound. You said you'd hop on one yourself and meet me on the way down. Way too hard to think. Dead on my feet, about to
clock. I can see what you mean. Something about the rhythm of the lyrics. Yeah.
It's very, very... it obviously, the emotion of it fits with the arc of the album, but musically it's a very, very odd kind of note right in the middle of the album.
Yeah.
That took me quite by surprise. I did like the next track. I can't remember what it's called now.
Peacocks.
Oh, yes, that's right. Great name. It had a weird, almost country steel guitar sound rather than the sort of straight acoustic that most of the other tracks had, which I was a big fan of. I really liked that. Can't remember anything else about it other than the kind of steel guitar sound, but I was a big fan. Yeah, Peacocks.
Yeah.
Then there's a couple of tracks that are kind of blurred together in my memory.
Yeah.
I do remember that International Small Arms Traffic Blues, I found kind of unremarkable.
Yeah.
Until right at the end when you get this weird kind of guitar crescendo where the guitar just builds in the last sort of 15 seconds or something. I was like, oh, yeah, cool ending. But other than that, that track didn't stand out to me too much. The next track, Have to Explode, I liked it. And I've just written more chill singing and guitar. I like this.
it is. It's another,
but it didn't stand out to
one.
Me.
To me, what I really love about that track in particular is the story and the songwriting. I love the lyrics to that song.
Mm-hmm. checkerboard white and gray. Towels from the Ritz, Carlton Hotel in Kingston, Jamaica. I can still see the rust-colored stains today. The stage is set.
I love the way that he relates lying on written, the bathroom floor.
No, I do remember really liking those lyrics, so I don't know why.
Yeah. The way he relates lying on the bathroom floor to, like, you know, laying on a raft out at sea and staring up at the ceiling light as if it's the sun, and you're drowning but you're parched, and I love the imagery. It is
It is really good.
Yeah, no, yeah. I shortchanged that in my notes. But then the last three tracks are the other three favorite tracks I had on the album. I loved all three of them. Old College Try, straight away it's catchier, the melody's more prominent. I don't know if there were singles off this, but if there were, I kind of get the sense this would be one of your singles. It's just kind of immediately, you know, you can't not like it.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to play? I was going to leave that one to play out the show, I reckon.
Okay. Yeah. Good call. Okay. All right. Moving on. Oceanographer's Choice was on the second playthrough of this. I thought this was my favorite track.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a real high point. It's a cracker.
Yeah.
Comes up to the guy in the Superman suit, runs through him with a broadsword. Put the television off. Bring all the bright lights up. Turn the radio up loud. I don't know why I'm so persuaded that if I think things through long enough and hard enough, I'll somehow get to you.
Yeah, it's another great one that's simultaneously catchy and yet not what you would call a pop song at all.
It reminds me
a lot of the Smiths, like How Soon Is Now. I think that, you know, instrumentally it's quite linked there. Yeah, big fan of that song.
And then we close with a fairly short track, which from the first playthrough was the one that rivals No Children as my favorite.
Right. Okay.
Fucking loved it. Some of the best lyrics on the album. I think it's just an amazing kind of closer.
Yeah.
All the lengthening hours in the refinery, belching fire into the sky. We do our best vampire routines as we suck the dying hours dry. The night is lovely as a rose. If I see sunlight hit you, I am sure that we'll both decompose.
Yeah, I can see you there smiling, awesome, just listening to the lyrics. He's such a fucking good songwriter. And I think I've told you this before.
Suck the dying hours.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if sunlight strikes us, we'll both decompose.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's
so well written. I mean, I'm sure you know this. The Mountain Goats are virtually one dude. Like, all the songwriting is John Darnielle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, he's got other people playing instruments with him now, but it's still virtually him. And I think that's how he's able to put out so much content.
I did skim, the Wikipedia page about the band during the week. And at one point, you know, they break it up into eras with the albums or whatever. And it's like two or three eras down that they go, and it's finally more than just him. He gets two other people in.
Yeah.
Every other album before that was just him with a boombox in the garage.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay. So now we're at the end of the album. How did you enjoy it all in all? Like, I mean, is enjoy the right word or is this similar to Revolutionary Road?
No, it's not Revolutionary Road. Leaving aside track 5, which I don't remember, but apparently it's fucking depressing. No, it's a very enjoyable listen. Like a lot of that kind of American indie folk stuff. And I find the same with, I don't know, Mumford and Sons, or, you know, there's a few others in there. And it will probably change the more I play these things. But I do find, I don't always notice when tracks change over. And you found that with a couple of mine as well. Some of these, obviously, like No Children, like, you know, they stand out from the crowd. But the others are kind of just like a, kind of, I really enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
But there's a, it sort of flows together a little bit. At this stage, I probably would put on Sunset Tree ahead of this if I was going to chuck something on. But I think it's just because it's more tracky and catchy, you know. But I think this is a really good album.
Yeah.
It's a cohesive, I mean, obviously it's a concept
album. Like its whole is better than the sum of its parts.
Yes, exactly. Why has no one said that sentence before? yes, that's what I should have said. As an album, I think it's a greater success than Sunset Tree or hell, East Texas, West Texas, some part of Texas. Yeah. I think as an album, it's more of a success. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's the one that I would put on if I felt like listening to some Mountain Goatsy type
totally
stuff.
Fair.
Much in the same way as I would put on Aqualung ahead of Thick as a Brick if I wanted some Jethro Tull, but I think Thick as a Brick is a better album. So there you go.
Nice.
But it's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Or what are you giving me next week?
I'll give the 7.5 out of 10. There you go, Tallahassee. That's what you get at this point in time. I think, supplanted what I was going to give you.
Okay.
So I've got 4 or 5 albums that I've just been picking on the fly every 2 weeks when I have to pick something.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, I've got them listed out and I'd sort of shortlisted a couple of them to pick between for today. But I'm going to dump that and give you something that's not even on the list.
Okay.
Because I have listened to this album at least 20 times in the last week.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I don't even need to question whether you've heard it because I don't think it's been released yet.
Okay.
I got a pre-release copy because I happen to be a Patreon supporter of the artist, which I will obviously send you. It is the debut album from Mary Spender, who is a pretty successful, I guess, YouTube musician.
Okay.
She's got like 650,000 followers on YouTube. She's done a lot of collaborations with other YouTube musicians like Rick Beato and other, you know.
What kind of style?
It's kind of, she's a very good guitarist as well as sort of singer-songwriter. It's kind of, if you imagine Tori Amos, but with a guitar instead of a piano.
Yeah, right.
Just kind of not pop. I mean, it is pop, I guess, but it's kind of, it's not, you know, mainstream pop. It's just kind of singer-songwritery pop. You know?
Yeah, cool.
But I was a big fan of her YouTube channel for quite a while. She's been doing it for years now. But she's done really cool. She does obviously puts her songs out, but she's also done clips on how to start a music career from home using YouTube and stuff, you know, sharing what she's learned over the years that she's been doing it. There was one recent one. John Mayer released the first, I think it's 15 seconds or 20 seconds of his new song. He just released the, like, a segment of it. And she just filled in the blanks and went, this is what I think it's going to be, and released it and did her own version before he released his.
Yeah, nice.
And he ended up sharing it and stuff, and it became quite a cool thing. But I just like her personality. She's just down to earth English lady, just a delight of a human being. And so I supported her just on Patreon just because I like her and I want to, you know, independent musicians doing their own thing, fucking the studio system, all of that. You know, I like to support that. I'm a big fan of Pomplamoose, you know, who you might know Jack Conti, the founder of Patreon, and his wife. That's why he started Patreon, was to be able to live his life as a musician, etc. So I like Mary Spender enormously. As soon as this arrived, and I don't even have the, I'm getting the signed CD and stuff, but that hasn't even arrived yet. This is just the, I got the digital version sent through.
Yeah.
As soon as I put it on, I was like, I fucking love this.
Yeah, nice.
And I have literally had it on repeat. I had to force myself to turn it off and listen to Tallahassee because I was like, holy shit, I've got 2 days to go and I haven't even played Tallahassee yet. Yeah. Because I've just had this thing on repeat in the car.
Nice.
The kids get in and say, can we put on So Young by Charlie Bliss? I'm like, no, fuck off. We're listening to more Mary Spender. So I'll have to send you a link to the digital because it's the first two singles are on YouTube. But other than that, it's not even available. But I thought, one, I reckon this is, you know, unskippable based on the fact that I just keep playing it on loop. But also I kind of figure, you know, it's nice to support indie people and give them a little bit of exposure. So the album's called, what is it called? Dirty Sexy Heartbreak. I want to say, let me just double check because my brain doesn't work anymore. Super Sexy Heartbreak. Sexy Heartbreak. So I'll flick it through to you.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's just really nice pop music.
Yeah.
Catchy. She's got a great voice. It's just, nice songs about love and heartbreak and stuff.
Nice. I'll jam that on the way to Sydney this week.
Yes. There you go. Good call.
Nice. Well, thank you very much, patrons, for listening. We hope you're enjoying these. I hope that if you've listened along that you enjoyed Tallahassee. And we'll catch you next week.
I need to go and pick between No Children and that last track as to what's going on the playlist.
From the ocean to the shore, the warning signs have all been bright and garish, far too great in number to ignore. From the cities to the swamplands, from the highways to the hills, our love has never had a leg to stand on. From the aspirins to the crosstops to the Ellavilles, but I will walk down to the end with you, if you will come all the way down with me.